Right, courts in session, the matter before the court is the state of Wyoming versus Joey Corriente. Mr. Corriente, then you appear before the court today, receive notice of your intent to change plea. Is that your understanding of why you're here as well?
Yes, Your Honor.
All right. And then the state is present, represented by Mr. Nugent. And so, is there an agreement reached in this matter?
Yes, Your Honor. So here's the agreement that we came to. Mr. Corriente would be willing to plead guilty to the facts for reckless endangering, and he would provide those facts for what has been represented as count two. The state would move to dismiss count one. And we have half open sentencing. So what we've agreed to is 180 days underlying, 364 days unsupervised probation. Mr. Corriente has expressed that he has a concern about being able to travel. And so, you know, we have no objection. And so we also have open sentencing argument on the amount of days to serve. So we'll be arguing for 20 days to serve, 160 days suspended. Mr. Corriente, I imagine, is going to ask for probation only. And then also open sentencing as far as whether he would be allowed to have guns during the time of his probation. And also, Mr. Corriente would like to be able to provide the court with facts to support that he should be allowed to enter for employment purposes bars. And also, we would like to ask for anger management evaluation. Mr. Randy would like, will make his own argument, I believe, for not having an evaluation. And Your Honor, that is the form of it, is half open sentencing and half agreed upon. But we would move to dismiss count one if you were to plead to count two.
All right, Mr. Corriente, is that also your understanding of the agreement between yourself and the state?
For the most part, Your Honor, the portion being open still to be discussed, yes.
Okay, very well. And so, Mr. Corriente, at this time, then, you did want to move forward and change your plea as to count two, which is the reckless endangering public, putting another at risk of death or serious bodily injury. Is that correct?
Yes, Your Honor.
All right. And prior to that, and if you'd like, you can go ahead and sit down. I understand it can be awkward to stand up and down. Of course, the attorneys in this courtroom know that they're required to do that anyways by the rule. But and Mr. Nugent, if you feel comfortable sitting down, I don't imagine that you would, that I would allow you the same courtesy. And if you'd like to remain seated throughout the arguments today, that'll be fine. And so then, Mr. Corriente, I just need to make sure that no one has forced you or threatened you or made any promises to you other than those that were put on the record here today. Has anyone done so in your case?
Not in my case, Your Honor.
No. All right. And then as you appear before me today, you're not under the influence of drugs or alcohol or suffering from mental conditions?
No, Your Honor.
All right. Then formally to count two of the amended information, how do you plead?
I would plead guilty, Your Honor.
Okay, go ahead and raise your right hand.
I will stand for this, Your Honor.
Okay. Do you swear or affirm that the testimony that you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth under penalty of perjury?
I do, Your Honor.
All right. Then going back to October 7th of last year, go ahead and tell me what happened that made you guilty of the second count of reckless endangering.
Thank you, Your Honor. I recognize the question you just asked. I would like to start by apologizing. My previous appearance in your court was probably not the most professional I could have been. I will not fully blame it on the shock of being served at the second count, walking in the door. I've pled guilty repeatedly to not being a professional jurist, and I think that showed. What happened when I received that count two and why I'm pleading guilty today is I've had a lot of struggles with it.
It's all right.
I believe I can make a good legal argument against count one, which would absolve count two. But it does a few things. One is it does expend the finite resources of the court and the people, and that bothers me. And two, I believe I could be found legally not liable But that doesn't allow me to look myself in the mirror every day and say, you didn't put these people in danger. The map that was given to us in the last hearing, I can't see the houses, but I can see the highway. I don't believe I did. I believe the possibility exists that people that I serve may have been put in danger. And I will never be able to morally argue against that. So I don't know that I'd be able to stand in your court during a trial and legally argue for that on a technicality just to get me out of trouble. It's very humbling. But I think any of these require a recognition of my own contribution to this situation. And it wasn't just choices made leading up to. It was a responsibility I have to take for what happened because of these things. So I do believe that there is a potential that I may have put some of the public in danger, and my integrity will not allow me to come into this court and argue against that, even if I could get away with it legally.
All right. Well, and Mr. Parenti, then, just to be clear, it was from discharging the firearm at the 45-degree angle, and as you noted, that the prior exhibit had come in about the cone of what all was out there, that there were some houses and a highway even, correct?
Yes. Yes, Your Honor.
All right. And when that happened, that was all here in Carbon County?
That was here in Carbon County. I don't dispute any of the technical facts of the charge whatsoever. Of course, I could argue to the day I die everything leading up to that moment. But again, what happened, as even if it's a secondary result, I don't see that there's any absolution in arguing against it, because that danger was present to whoever may have been out there.
All right. Is the state satisfied that there is a sufficient factual basis?
Yes, Your Honor.
As is the court. And at this time, does the state move to dismiss count one?
Your Honor, the state would so move.
All right. The non-motion of the state count one shall be and is hereby dismissed. And having been found guilty on count two, then, and having pled guilty to it, I guess, then we'll go ahead and move forward with sentencing on that. And so I'll hear first from you, Mr. Nugent, what your arguments are.
Your Honor, I believe you're very familiar with the facts of this case, more familiar than I am, probably. You have just had to review everything. I think Mr. Brandy expressed clearly, you know, his remorse. However, he's also clearly indicated that there was danger in that situation. And I think it is also important to note that this was the result of a domestic dispute, that is the origin of where this arose, you know, involving three individuals. And I think that does add an element of risk and another element of concern that the state has. There was a fight that preceded it, and that this did evolve from another argument. And so I think and also I think that the use of the firearms here, I think it's clear that it is outside of what is appropriate. And so for the term of probation, I don't think that it's much to ask to have a period of time without firearms, if anything, just to recognize the seriousness of the crime and the fact that someone, it wouldn't be shocking at all if somebody had been seriously injured or killed in this incident, and all the facts, which I think are relevant here at the sentencing phase. I also think that the 20 days in jail is an appropriate balance to the amount of harm that any member of the public, you know, or Mr. Parenti himself was in by pointing a firearm at somebody else, as had happened in the same fact scenario. And that I think that we're all very fortunate that we're standing here in this situation in sentencing and with a person who's taking responsibility. But I still feel that 20 days is a tiny amount of time to spend in jail, considering that a life really could have been lost, and it would have been shocking at all. So thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you. All right, Mr. Crunty, well, and before I turn to you, I do note the presence of the victim advocate. I did receive Mr. Chadwick's statement, and, you know, technically Mr. Crunty didn't plead guilty on count one, but I have reviewed that, Ms. Spalding, and did Mr. Chadwick want to make any statement to the court other than his written statement today? All right, thank you. And so we'll go ahead and turn to you, Mr. Crunty, concerning sentencing.
Thank you, Your Honor. I don't believe I heard a suggestion for the term of the probation.
So he's asking for 1 year, but I actually would order that to be only a 1 day shy of a year, so that it wouldn't impinge any of your ability to travel out of state.
As long as that, yes, that's what we had discussed. I just hadn't heard it, and please forgive me. I understand the request that the state is making, and for a few reasons, I would argue against it. First, let's take the ability to possess and own firearms. This incident happened at the beginning of October, and charges weren't brought until December. During that time, prior to bond being issued, there were no incidents. And since that time, since bond conditions have been imposed, which did not include the removal of firearms, there has been absolutely no issues. And if that 7.5 month period isn't record enough, I believe the 7.5 year period prior to where I've had no legal issues whatsoever would say the concern is more situational. And I understand where the state's coming from, but I don't believe it's pressing. I don't believe it was the firearm that was the issue. And again, forgive me. It was a series of decisions that led up to this situation. And my role in those decisions, those associations, those relationships are the things that I believe need to be thought about more as opposed to access to firearms. My posture, my presence, and my decision making, not just in the associations, but in situations, is going to become more important than my access to anything. And I believe that because I'm already very deeply thinking about that and curating my life to not have certain associations, that it is not the possession or presence of firearms that is the issue. It was a decision-making process that has been and is continuing to be addressed, and I would just refer back to the court's earlier decision to say no when prosecution said we want to take the firearms from the defendant, and that was not a decision that you probably made lightly or that I took lightly when you made it, and I respected it, and I've tried to show respect for it by not violating your trust. As far as the 20 days in jail goes, I believe there's already a suggestion of 180 days underlying, which is very serious. I mean, that's 6 months. The 20 days up front, I don't believe would serve anything but a really a punitive nature, which I don't think incarceration should be. I don't know how the court feels, but I believe that we're looking, at least my process has brought me to looking for the ability to take responsibility, have some rehabilitation, and reintegrate into the community in which I put in danger. And really putting me in a position where I'm serving in time in jail, it re-victimizes the community. It makes them financially responsible for clothing, housing, and feeding me for a 20-day period, which I think right now is about $175 a day. If the intent is to make me think about what I did, I think I'm expressing that I've spent a lot of time thinking about what I did. I'm working very hard to curate that life and make sure that without dismissing the members of the community, which I say I now recognize I may have put, maybe choosing not to associate so closely with some of them when there's obvious issues. So again, in protection of the resources of the court and the community, understanding taxpayer dollars being what they are, the intent of what prison or even the county jail would do, I believe those things are already being done, and I would argue against those knowing that there's 180 of those days waiting on the other side of any future bad decision I may make in the next year. And then there's one more, the entry into, as I said during my plea hearing in January, it's been a while, but I am a pensioner. That's a small portion of my income. I offset that income by doing a few things. I'm a traditional Western barber. I do Western reenactments out of a canvas tent. I'm also a DJ. I do a lot of weddings, parties, and charity events. And then I'm in politics, which actually does not pay at all. So the ability to travel and go into and out of bars for things like DJing, running karaoke, doing fundraisers. I think there's already three that I've had to turn down in the Platte Valley this year because I just can't go into the American Legion or the Whistle Pig. I'm a member of about four benevolent organizations that technically are private clubs, but also derive a certain amount of their money through that kind of income, and I don't want to come back into your court on a technical argument. If I'm going to tell you I agree to certain terms, I want to understand them and follow them, not a fight away, get around them. So I bring that up saying it has impacted my income. I haven't been able to do a lot of the shows I normally do. I have been selling a lot of my personal belongings to stay afloat, and I don't mind if a condition of my probation is that at any time a law enforcement officer can stop me and check my blood alcohol. I'll concede, no problem. But to be able to be into those places for work purposes, to be able to travel outside of the state for work purposes, I would appreciate the court's consideration.
All right, and then concerning the anger management at all?
Because of my belief that this was a situational danger, not a angry and cyclic, you know, there were not a lot of things that built up to this. I don't have a history of violence. I would initially say I don't think it's necessary. But at the same time, as I'm reading other court documents, it's an anger management assessment and then an agreement to follow whatever the recommendation is. And I don't know that I would ever be opposed to being assessed and then following the recommendation, even if it's just for peace of mind of the court, saying, somebody we trust looked into it, they're credentialed, they said this, he did it, gold star, case closed. So I don't know that I'd really fight that, but if the court could provide approved providers, and again, I would expect that to be at my own cost. I have a real problem with wasting the taxpayers' money.
Sure. All right, Mr. Corriente, then, in your case, having given due consideration to both arguments, I am going to impose the 180 days of jail time, but I will suspend all 180 days of the jail time in favor of the 364 days of unsupervised probation. That's going to be starting today that you are on the unsupervised probation. I'm not assessing any fines in this matter, but there is $150 mandatory surcharge to the Wyoming Crime Victims Compensation Fund and $70 in court costs for a total of $220 due and owing to the court. And I'm going to give you plenty of time to pay that. You've indicated that these incidents have certainly impacted you financially, and so those will be due and payable not later than October 31st of this year. And then for the terms and conditions of probation, you are not to violate the law of this or any other jurisdiction. Keep the court apprised of your current mailing and residential address and contact telephone number. You're not to possess or consume alcohol or illegal controlled substances, and must stay out of bars and liquor stores except for employment purposes. And I put that exception right on here. So make sure that when you are there that it is an employment purpose and only be there for those purposes. And then otherwise, of course, you would be subject to random tests of your breath or bodily fluids at the request of any law enforcement officer during the period of the unsupervised probation. I am ordering the anger management evaluation that does need to be completed within 90 days of today's date, and then complete any and all treatment recommendations with written proof of compliance to the court. It sounds as though you're somewhat familiar with that. First, I'll tell you that I'm not able to provide you with a list of approved providers because I'm not to be looking as though I favor on any, you know, particular entity. But what I always and routinely tell people is that usually any mental health or counseling center would be able to accomplish that for you. And so check in with them, but do make sure that they know that it is a condition of probation. You can describe, of course, the situation to them. You know, why you are on probation, they probably will ask and be curious about that. And then, but it is very important that the court get a copy of that evaluation. It is kept confidentially, and so it's not open to the public to review your confidential assessment. And then whatever treatment recommendations, if any, and sometimes there are none, then you will need to follow up with written proof of compliance that you did do any and all treatment recommendations. And then finally, you'll also be ordered to pay the financial obligations as ordered by the court not later than October 31st of this year by 5 p.m. Those will need to be paid to the court. I recognize that the state has asked me to infringe on the firearms during this period of the unsupervised probation. As Mr. Nugent noted, as you're aware, I am very aware of the facts and circumstances of the case. On both sides, really, I feel as though I got a pretty fair reading during the motions hearing in this matter. And so I am going to decline from that. I will not be taking away your right to possess firearms. I obviously was able to note that there was an attack going on. I wouldn't call it an altercation. I couldn't say that in any way, shape, or form. The audio just wouldn't support this court finding that that was the case. And Mr. Corriente, while in the end deemed to have done improperly with the discharging of his firearm, certainly I felt like based on the attacking nature of what was going on, I maintained as much calm as really could have been expected under the circumstances. Bringing the firearm out and handling it, obviously, that's turned into the issues that were before the court in this case. But Mr. Corriente, your behavior at the court, you're taking the full responsibility today. It does indicate to the court that, and some of the statements even that you had made at the motions hearing about your knowledge of firearms, I could tell that you regretted this decision and how things had turned out that day, and that you take firearm safety in very high regard and would not have intended to engage in inappropriate activity. Even on the night when the officer was at your door, you immediately, you know, came clean about what had happened and that you had discharged your firearm and not towards any specific target. And so all of those things indicated to the court that you are very aware of firearm safety. And I hope that this has served to teach you, of course, to not have these incidents in the future. And with that anger management situation, that I don't expect that I'm going to see that you're having any problems. So that's the long way around saying that I'm declining the opportunity to deny him his rights to firearms. And just as you've indicated to the court, you take these responsibilities seriously, and that, of course, is the expectation of the court. So if there are problems, of course, in this next 1 year period of time, you know you'll be back before the court and you're looking at a lot of time hanging over your head. So that being said, I hope that you do take the opportunity given to you with the unsupervised probation. Now, on the more business end, you do have 30 days to appeal the judgment and sentence of the court. If you believe anything I've done today is an error, that you, or any leading up to where we're at, that you do have 30 days to appeal the decisions of the court. And if you couldn't afford the cost, that you could apply to have those appellate fees waived and even potentially have appointed counsel represent you. Did you have questions about the terms and conditions of probation, your right to appeal, anything else I've gone over with you?
I do. Real quickly, I don't know if it's appropriate, but I want to recognize, I do see the situation that the attorney's office is in right now, and I appreciate Mr. Nugent and his candor and his willingness to talk. And I'll just leave that there. The last couple of days have been real good. Good luck with all your stacks coming up. The only question I really have is, how do I reacquire my property?
Oh, so that question does come to me pretty frequently, and unfortunately, I don't have a lot of good answers for you. So,
do we even know where it is?
Whoever took the property, okay. I would start with their agency. So if it was the Saratoga Police Department, then you can make contact with them. I believe that they usually will hold your property for an additional 30 days because of that right to appeal that I've just gone over with you. And so... that may actually be the case in your situation, but it's completely separate from what goes on here in court. So if you are running into issues in that regard, there are ways that you can file motions, and of course the court always has the authority to act. However, usually that doesn't become an issue, and that you should be able to make contact with the police department that took your property and move forward from there. And Mr. Nugent may have information. I don't know if you get involved in that at all. As many years as I was a prosecutor, and also, of course, I did private attorney work as well, this is an issue that I'm less familiar with than so many others. So I'll leave that to you after court to sort out. Maybe you can ask the question of Mr. Nugent. And then any bond conditions are hereby released, and any bond, I know, I'm pretty sure you are out on an OR bond throughout, so there's no money to be returned to you today. But that being said, that your case is at a close. Mr. Nugent, did you have anything further?
No, Your Honor, I don't believe there's anything further.
All right, thank you. And then, Mr. Correnti, was there any further questions or anything for the court?
I can wait around for paperwork today.
Yep, I've got it already.
Excellent.
Signed, and you'll have it and be able to go. And this may help you as well in trying to retrieve your property.
I don't know if it's appropriate, but both your offices have great staff. I know you guys have seen me a lot, so thank you for bearing with me. Taking a lot of phone calls, and I'll try not to have an opportunity to represent myself in the future, Your Honor.
That sounds great. All right, Mr. Correnti. Well, wish you all the best on the probation. Court does stand in recess.
All right.